The word today is plagues. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the book of Exodus, God tells us about the children of Israel who were in captivity in Egypt. Moses was sent to free them, but Pharaoh refused to let them go until the bitter end. Here from our archives with a review of this history for us is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Plagues.
From time to time, I believe it's important that we as Christians review what God's Word says about the national state of affairs. Now, we are broadcasting with The Word Today to about 50 nations in different languages, and primarily all across America here also, we need to primarily be concerned about what God is doing in our nation, because I think there are so many things that we're doing against the will of God. For instance, abortion. I just feel God is very upset with America because of abortion. And I'm sure if in some of the other countries where we broadcast, the same is true, God is just as upset with them. We believe this is murder. We believe God does not want this to be happening, and yet it's happening. You know, there are so many other things that are anti-scriptural. Homosexuality, for instance, is something God really speaks against and says we shouldn't be doing. Think about all of the pornography. Oh, my, it's just so filthy. The DVDs or the different things that people rent, you know, at different places to watch pornography. Think of this. This is all against the will of God, and it's really sad. I think for that reason it pays for us to take a look at some. Here's an Old Testament reference. If you turn to Exodus, the 8th chapter, actually you can begin right at the beginning of the 8th chapter. This is a situation where God's people, the Israelites, have been held captive in Egypt. And God has sent Moses, who is to lead them back to the promised land, lead them out of captivity. They're going to be coming through the Exodus. They're going to be coming through. That's why this book of the Bible is called the Exodus, by the way. They're going to be coming through the Sinai Desert on their way back to the Promised Land. And so the occasion there is that Moses has come, and Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, has said he's not going to let the Israelites go. He's not going to free them. And so Moses is instructed by God to get serious and to say, look, things are going to be happening here. If you don't let God's people go, God is going to bring judgment on you. And the first one of these plagues, they're simply referred to as the plagues, the first one of these plagues is a brutal one. Can you imagine, at God's command, all of the water in Egypt, including the Nile River, turns to blood? Just think of this. And if you read the text there, you'll see it's not just there in the river, but it's along the river. It's the little creeks, what we used to call creeks in Iowa, the little waterways, the ponds, everything turned to blood. Can you imagine what a stench this must have been, first of all, and what a dramatic thing. There was no water for them to drink. Now, later on in the text, it says they had to go and drill holes along the river there. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe there were some artesian wells or something there that weren't affected. But very clearly, this was a very dramatic evidence that God was displeased. Now, Pharaoh at first was shook up, but he changes his mind. You see, as soon as God removes that plague, Moses says, okay, tomorrow things will be different. And right away, Pharaoh changes his mind. No, I changed my mind. I'm not going to let them go. Now, we know from history that the second plague was frogs. Now, frogs, of course, had plagued the Nile River basin for centuries prior to that even. And so it was not uncommon for them to know that there were a lot of frogs around. But in this particular plague, they were everywhere. They were in the homes. They were everywhere. Everywhere were frogs. And you call, this is a very nasty type of thing. And you remember once again, Pharaoh's heart softened, but not for long. By the next day already, he had hardened his heart and said, no, I changed my mind. I'm not going to let the people of Israel go. Well, Moses had tried to believe Pharaoh, although God had told him that Pharaoh's heart was going to be hardened, so he shouldn't pay much attention to him. But he had brought an inn, and they said the frogs died, and they had to shovel them up in pails and buckets. Can you imagine that and make piles? Just think of the uncleanliness and the stench that would have been around there. And then the third plague. You see, Pharaoh's heart was so hardened that they had to keep going. And the third plague was lice, kind of mites. I suppose there are other names given in different translations, but can you imagine what a plague that must have been? Now, these first plagues involved everyone. It was more like a disease, I guess you could say. Then the next three plagues come, and they begin with flies. Now, once again, historically in history, we know we can read about the epidemics of flies everywhere. But in this particular plague, they were once again everywhere. And this was specifically directed against the Egyptians. This was a desolation. This was terrible. And the people of the Israelites were not involved. But the livestock and the people of Egypt were. The second part of that second series of three plagues was the livestock. And then the third was the boils, to take dust, throw it up in the air, ashes, and it would produce boils. It would produce a rash on the people. These were positively terrible. And yet Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. This is incredible. And you take the third set of three of these little plagues, these horrible situations, and you look at the text. Just keep going there through Exodus 8 and Exodus 9. You have the dead animals around. Just imagine the sores. It's verse 13 where the hailstones begin. Chapter 10, the locusts come. My goodness, and the locusts, the swarm of locusts, when they come upon a place, they just strip it. The crop is just totally ruined. And so you have this. Now, this third set is getting far more serious. And then finally, God says, Moses, tell him that the firstborn child of every Egyptian home, the male child, is going to be killed. They're going to die. Well, this is getting totally serious now at this point. The firstborn son is going to die. And you recall, this is how the first Passover came about then, because the Israelites were told, when the angel of death is going to fly over, you make sure that you've killed this Passover lamb, became known as the Passover lamb, that you had this meal, and that you took the blood, you took some of the branches and used them like a paintbrush, and you painted the blood of the lamb on the door sills so that the angel could see it and it would pass over. That's how this festival got its name. The angel of death passed over those homes because those were the homes of the obedient Israelites. And the homes that did not have this blood on the door pillars were the Egyptian homes, and their firstborn sons were killed. Can you just imagine the mourning and the weeping and the desolation of everything across Egypt? And finally, the Pharaoh says, okay, yes, take your people, get out of here, get out of here. And they left. And even then, you recall, as they were crossing the desert and they got to the Red Sea, even then Pharaoh changed his mind once again and sent his charioteers and his army after them to try and bring them back. And you recall the miracle here where God uses Moses to divide the waters of the Red Sea and the Israelites walk through on dry land. And when Egypt's charioteers and soldiers and army tried to follow, the waters came back on them and they were drowned. I believe this is positively a true story. This is not fiction. This actually happened. I believe if at any point we can get to the bottom of the water, and now think of all the silt and everything through these thousands of years, but if you could go under there, you would still find the chariots, the wheels, and things like that under there. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Now, God used Moses here in a very dramatic way to express God's will. I believe the prophets of today are the preachers. Some of us are trying to warn America and say, watch out, America. Who do we think we are? And I think the same would apply every nation that hears this broadcast in wherever you are, whether you're in Japan, whether you're in Mexico, whether you're in India, whether you're in China, wherever you are, the same word would apply from God through his spokesman to repent. Come to repentance. Don't keep irritating and aggravating God with immorality and with a sense of disobedience to God. Things like abortion is so horrible in God's eyes. And I believe God is calling us to repentance, and we should not think that somehow God's just going to let everything happen real nice and well for us, even if we continue to disobey him. Now, God is patient, God is loving, and God certainly is forgiving, but he expects us to repent. He expects us to return to him. He expects us to come in a spirit of repentance, and then he will hear us, then he will forgive us. So take a look at Exodus here and just realize how God dealt with the Israelites and in particular with the Egyptians, and recognize that God is in charge. He's in control of all things, of every nation in the world. God is the one in control. And let's repent and return to God, sincerely asking him to bless our nations, to bless our countries, and then live accordingly. Live in obedience to him. Live in a way that pleases him, in a way that he can see we mean it sincerely when we have repented.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.